Friday, August 15. Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The first reading from Revelation chapter 11, verse 19, and chapter 12, verses 1 through 6 and 10. God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of His covenant could be seen in the temple. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the sky. It was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads were 7 diadems. Its tail swept away a third of the stars in the sky and hurled them down to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman about to give birth to devour her child when she gave birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod. Her child was caught up to God and His throne. The woman herself fled into the desert, where she had a place prepared by God. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of His Anointed One." Haydock Commentary. By the woman clothed with the sun, interpreters commonly understand the Church of Christ shining with the light of faith under the protection of the Son of Justice, Jesus Christ. It may also be applied to our Blessed Lady. The Church is clothed with the sun, that is, with Christ. She hath the moon, that is, the changeable things of the world, under her feet, and the 12 stars with which she is crowned are the 12 apostles. She is in labor and pain, whilst she brings forth her children, and Christ in them, in the midst of afflictions and persecutions. Under the figure of a woman and a dragon are represented the various attempts of Satan to undermine the Church. She is with child to signify that the Church, even in the time of persecutions, brought forth children to Christ. It likewise signifies the difficulties which obstructed the first propagation of Christianity. By the dragon is generally understood the devil, and by the heads and horns, kings and princes who act under him, persecuting the servants of God. His tail drew the third part of the stars. This is spoken with allusion to the fall of Lucifer from heaven, with the rebellious angels driven from thence by St. Michael. Others interpret it of those bishops and eminent persons who fell under the weight of persecution and apostatized. The dragon stood before the woman about to give birth. The devil is always ready, as far as God permits him, to make war against the Church and the faithful servants of God. Her son or her children were taken up to heaven, guarded by the special favor of God. They always overcome the devil and all their adversaries by reason of the blood of the Lamb, by the merits of Christ. The woman fled into the wilderness. The Church, in the times of persecutions, must be content to serve God in a private manner. The Christians were accustomed to fly during the times of persecution into the deserts to avoid the fury of the pagans. This was done by the greatest saints, and St. Jerome remarks that it was this which gave rise to the eremitical state of life. The blessed in heaven rejoice for the victories of the faithful on earth, and also for the reward and glory which would shortly be given them in heaven. The second reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 20 through 27. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead came also through man. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to his God and Father, when he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he subjected everything under his feet. Haydock Commentary. Christ is the first fruits and the first begotten of the dead, of those who have slept, and by his being the first fruits, it must be supposed that others also will rise after him. As death came by the first man, Adam, so the second man, Christ, came to repair the death of men, both as to body and soul. And without Christ's resurrection, both the souls of men have remained dead in their original sins, and their bodies shall not rise again. After the general resurrection of all will be the end of the world. Then Christ shall deliver up his kingdom, as to this world, over all men, over the devil and his apostate angels, signified by principalities and powers. At the general resurrection, Christ will present these elect to his heavenly Father as the first fruits of his victory over sin and death. And though as man he came to suffer and die, and was also made subject to his eternal Father, yet being God as well as man, he is Lord of all, and will make his faithful servants partakers of his glory in his heavenly kingdom. The Gospel from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. Haydock Commentary. According to the general opinion of the interpreters, the leaping of the child at the time was not natural, and some think that God gave to St. John the Baptist, even in his mother's womb, a passing knowledge of the presence of his Redeemer. In the same words, she is pronounced blessed by Elizabeth and by the angel Gabriel, both inspired by the Holy Ghost. And this not only to the praise of Jesus, but for his sake to the praise of Mary, calling her blessed and her fruit blessed. And thus, as Venerable Bede asserts, holding her up to the veneration of both men and angels. In calling Mary the mother of my Lord, Elizabeth provides a proof that Christ was truly God, and the Blessed Virgin Mary truly the mother of God. Elizabeth was a just and blessed woman, yet the excellency of the mother of God does so far surpass that of Elizabeth and of every other woman, as the great luminary outshines the smaller stars. So says St. Jerome. As death entered into the world by the pride of our first parents, so was it proper that the path to life should be opened by the humility of Mary. Not Elizabeth only, but all nations of believers are to call her blessed. The wise men of the Gentiles, the Pharisees and scribes, were powerful, but these the Almighty cast down and exalted those who humbled themselves under his powerful hand. See 1 Peter 5. The Jews were proud in their strength, but their incredulity brought on them their humiliation, whilst the low and mean among the Gentiles have by faith ascended to the summit of perfection. So says St. Cyril. The Jews were rich in the possession of the law and the doctrines of the prophets, but as they would not humbly unite themselves to the incarnate Word, they were sent away empty, without faith, without knowledge, deprived of all hopes of temporal goods, excluded from the terrestrial Jerusalem, and also from that which is in heaven. But the Gentiles, oppressed with hunger and thirst, by adhering to their Lord, were filled with all spiritual gifts. So says St. Basil.